This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
No loans, no leases.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Borrowing money has slowed to a dribble. This morning, we learned that applications for home loans are at their lowest level since 2000. Plus, banks aren't lending to each other, so the Federal Reserve stepped in again today. The Fed said it was extending an emergency borrowing program for Wall Street banks until January, and it announced a couple of other steps to loosen up the credit market. Car companies have decided leasing is a bad proposition. GMAC and Ford are both cutting back on auto leases. Chrysler has stopped them outright. Marketplace's Janet Babin has more from North Carolina Public Radio.
As the price of gas spikes up, the value of SUVs and pickup trucks has plummeted. That's a big problem for companies that leased these vehicles 2 or 3 years ago. They won't make nearly as much money selling the SUV or truck when that lease is up. Resale values on some trucks have dropped more than 30% over the last year. Brendan Moore runs the website autosavant.net. He says the losses for leasing companies are piling up.
You can do the math pretty quick, say $3,000 per vehicle, extrapolated over, you know, a million vehicles coming off lease, and you can see where they would lose a lot of money very quickly.
Ford took a $1.8 billion charge last quarter because of those lower resale values. Tight credit will also make leasing tougher. One bright side, though, Moore says companies that leased fuel-efficient cars are poised to make profits they didn't likely expect. I'm Janet Babin for Marketplace.
Wall Street might just get some momentum going after yesterday's rally. The Fed's announcement will help. Plus, there's a report that private employers added 9,000 jobs this month instead of 60,000 job cuts as expected. And the price of oil is still hovering around a 2-month low. So far, the Dow is up another 122 points to 11,520. The NASDAQ has gained 9. The S&P 500 is up 11. In Asia today, stocks closed 1-2% higher, and European shares are up about the same amount so far. Oil is below $122 a barrel. Today, Congress takes up an issue of great importance to small businesses. There's a federal program that gives money to small companies for R&D, $2 billion a year. But the funding runs out in September unless Congress does something about it. Mitchell Hartman reports from our entrepreneurship desk.
CyberNet Systems in Ann Arbor, Michigan, used an award from the program to invent a robotic device the Army is now using in Kuwait. Heidi Jacobus is CEO.
So what we can do is recover from vast piles of returned ammunition, ammo that is good. That process had been done by hand.
But the House bill would also let high-tech and biotech companies that are owned by venture capital firms bid for the grants. Emily Mendel of the National Venture Capital Association says these are small businesses, too.
There is a common misperception that a company that receives venture capital backing has either, one, hit the jackpot, or two, is backed by a large corporation, neither of which are true.
Small business advocates counter that these firms already have plenty of access to R&D funding, and they'll muscle out true small-scale entrepreneurs. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
Delta Airlines still isn't charging to check your first bag, but your second one? It's doubling the fee to $50 each way for domestic flights. A third bag is now $125. Travel light, my friend. Travel light.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by SaveAndInvest.org, helping military service members and families manage their money with confidence. online at saveandinvest.org.
Even the donut shop is going healthier. Dunkin' Donuts says next month it'll start offering flatbread sandwiches under 300 calories each. I don't know who's going to go to Dunkin' for a low-calorie sandwich, but maybe people will. We have such a strange relationship with donuts. In fact, there's a new book about the history of the donut. It's called Glazed America, and the author is Paul Mullins. Paul, how do people look at donuts in this country?
Well, for some of the people that I talked to over the time I did the book, there are folks that believed very strongly that donuts were the holy grail. And then on the other hand, there were people that thought donuts were the worst food on the face of the planet.
Well, how many of those people that said they hate donuts were actually eating a donut when they said that?
A lot of them, you're right. That's one of the kind of interesting contradictions, is that even when people go to the donut shop, sometimes they'll have misgivings, whereas they might go to a coffee shop and drink a rich double latte with vastly more calories, actually, than a donut, and not feel as equally conflicted about them. So donuts are often taken as a sort of symbolic stand-in for all the evil foods that we consume.
That's really interesting. So what happens to donut sales in a down economy?
Well, the conventional logic is that donuts are sort of inverse mirror of the economy. So, for instance, during times of recession, folks in the industry argue that donut sales generally will increase because we're pinching pennies. You can eat a very filling snack or meal, you know, at a donut shop for very little money. Donut chains are doing actually quite well right now.
Well, let's talk about the donut chains. Who's winning the donut war, Krispy Kreme or Dunkin'?
Dunkin' is certainly profiting much more and making a whole lot more money right now than Krispy Kreme. On another level, though, Krispy Kreme has been very stable. There's a much, much smaller number of Krispy Kremes out there, but they do in very, very good PR. So they have a kind of cachet to them.
All right, Paul, what's your favorite donut?
I'm a fan of super sweet donuts as a Southerner. And there's a donut shop here in Indianapolis, Long's Bakery, that makes a very, very sweet vanilla-filled donut that's really superb.
I cast my vote for Tim Horton's Canadian Maple Donut.
They're delightful, actually. Tim Horton is a very distinctive flavor. It's a niche that's not really very well covered by American donut makers.
Paul Mullins, he's the author of Glazed America. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks.
In Los Angeles, which has 1,600 donut shops, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.
American Public Media.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.